I told someone in the congregation, I'm not picking on them this morning when I start my sermon, and you'll understand now why. Have you heard the expression, give a man a fish and you'll feed him for the day? And then he said, teach him how to fish and you'll feed him for a lifetime. The reality is this. If you teach a man to fish, he'll go out and buy a graphite fishing rod. He'll buy a reel, line, sinkers, hooks, swivels, traces, waders, tackle, box, floats, a bucket, a knife, sun cream, a hat, a jacket, with many pockets, special boots, even a boat, a trailer, a new car, and gone for the weekend. And I said I wasn't picking on anybody like Eddie this morning when I said that. No. Eddie gives up his fishing to be here on Sunday. But why does a man or a woman do that? When they pick up something, it's because of passion. They've got to have all the latest gear. They even enter competitions. It's because something has gripped their heart and said, this is what I want to do. And when passion consumes you, you'll stop at nothing to get. There was a season in my life where sailing was my passion. My passion was to sail around the world. And I was living out my passion when I realized that passion could never ultimately satisfy you. But when God comes into your life, there's ultimate fulfillment. So my question, it's good to have young guys in the front here. What are you passionate about? What drives you? We saw recently how you can quite easily engage with people around purpose. We were driving through Steers last night. We came at 6 to see what the guys were doing. Unfortunately, they wanted to show us the light bulbs. But of course, the load shedding came, so they couldn't turn the lights on. And then we went to Steers for a drive-through ice cream. And we noticed there was one guy there was so passionate. He was like giving the cones to the kids and then taking it away. And when you got to him, he was so animated. And I just felt led. And I've seen David do this a lot with people. I said to him, do you like coffee? And he says, yes, I do. So I said, what time do you start work? He said, 9:30 on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I said, great. I'm coming at 8:00. I'm having coffee with you. We're going to talk about your purpose in life. And he said, great, I'll see you there. And you realize how easy it is to engage with people when we don't come with the Bible and we're strong. We rather say, can I just meet you for a cup of coffee? So my challenge to every one of you this week, and we want coffee stories. Most of you have been given a coffee mug. I want to ask you this week to engage with someone over a cup of coffee. It could be one of your staff members. Say, I want to come into your office for 5 minutes. I want to engage with you a cup of coffee. How are you doing? Are you living your purpose? Can I challenge all of you to do that this week? And you're looking at me nervous. I'm a shy person. If you put me in a new environment, believe it or not, inside I'm dying. And after about 3 days, I warm up and I get to know a few people. Then I start becoming myself again. But it's amazing how simple just saying to somebody, can I meet with you? And here's something that I've started to do. And a lot of this comes from the material from what David's once going to share with us as well as in how to disciple. Is if you had a house, one was on the rock and the other one was on the sand, which one do you think would last? Think about that. Next time I see you, I want to talk to you about that. And it just opens doors where you can engage with people around life. Where you're not coming, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, you need Jesus. But you talk about passion, purpose, and calling. And so we understand that when we find passion, we'll go to the ends of the earth. How many of you remember coming to Jesus at a young age and you're willing to drive from here to Gariep Dam to go to a church meeting? Or maybe even fly somewhere in the world or spend money on books or stay up night reading the word or waking up early because you're so passionate about God. And the word passion, actually look at the translation, means strong, barely controllable emotion. An intense desire or enthusiasm for something. In fact, the word passion comes from the Latin word, and I'll probably pronounce it wrong, pati, and it means to suffer or endure. So when you're passionate about something, you're willing to suffer and endure for it because you love it so much. So as a fisherman, you're willing to wake up at 2 in the morning and come back at 8 o'clock at night. You're willing to endure for it. When you have a child that you love, no matter how hard and painful it is now, no matter how often they wake you up in the night, there's a passion to willing to endure and to suffer because of your love for that person. In fact, when you look at God's kingdom in Isaiah chapter 6 chapter 9, verse 7. It talks about the kingdom expanding throughout the whole earth. And it says the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. And the word actually means jealous. And often it's been translated as jealous. God is jealous for us, that he's willing to suffer. And in fact, if you look at the word passion, what comes up is the suffering and the death of Jesus in the dictionary, is understanding the meaning. That Jesus loved us so much, was passionate so much about us, that he's willing to suffer and die for us. If you had the revelation of that, that would just open our eyes to understand that God loves me that much. And when we have that revelation, we'd be changed forever and realize I'm truly loved. Someone had this revelation, one of my young friends, he's in YWAM, and he had this revelation, not only does God love me, but he likes me. Because you might say, oh, I've got to love this person. But like is, I want to spend time with this person. I enjoy them. I got to like 5 guys who were in my car on the way down to, we started down, Pastor Andrew, let's suss each other out. And the time we got back, we were having laughs, and it was a great time with the guys. But there's something that God not only loves us, but he likes being with us. He's passionate about us, and we need that revelation. The only revelation I could ever have that compares to it is your love for your own children. That you suddenly realize, if I love my child that much, how much more does God love me? Now, one of our values is passionate spirituality. And we prioritize abiding prayer, worship, and cultivating a hunger for God's presence as we boldly follow the Holy Spirit's leading. That's one of our core values. So let's go back to when he first encountered Jesus, when he first realized that God is real. That sense of calling came upon you. I'm a child of God. You know, with the two churches of us coming together into forming Upper Highway Vineyard, one of the understanding was that I would lead the pastor of the church here, and Zolani would be involved in outreach. And it's wonderful to say that today, Zolani is preaching in Kwabecha to a congregation down there in a township in Motherwell, which is one of the most violent townships in Port Elizabeth. And he's doing a great work down here around us. So right now, Zolani's preaching. We're preaching at the same time. Isn't that wonderful? And when you understand this, we become alive eternally. There's a 363 song, I Become Alive Eternally. It's one of my favorite bands when I got saved. In fact, they came out around about the same time I got saved. I'm alive eternally. Forever I will be alive. And so we understand that we can feed this thing. We can feed this passion that we have. But there's a danger, and I just want to share something that God showed me in Scripture. And funny enough, Janet, I felt like in worship, you're barefoot. Who was barefoot in the Bible? Well, there were many people. Who had to take his shoes off? Moses. Why? He was standing on a holy ground. And when God's presence comes, we are overwhelmed by the sense, I want to get down. I want to get on my knees. There's something holy happening in our midst right now. And we have this revelation that God is here in our midst. But what God showed me, and it's a word I sense for where we got to be guarded, is that we see in Scripture how God powerfully leads Egypt. We see the Passover, which signifies the death of Jesus. We see the Red Sea, crossing the Red Sea, which signifies his resurrection, our baptism. Now, they've just come on the other side of the Red Sea, and a song is sung. And for the first time ever mentioned in Scripture, God is mentioned as a king when he says, "You will reign forever and ever." The enemy has been destroyed. I mean, can you imagine what that must have looked like? The sea parted, the enemy is destroyed, and now they're walking, and they're singing and dancing, and they're, woo, this is awesome. And all of a sudden, day one, no water. Day two, no water. If you know anything about water, 3 days, and you're close to dying. I assume they had some water in jars. They probably ended up running out of all their jars of water and came to the end of themselves. And they come to a pool, Mara, and the water's bitter. And they start to complain. And so often in life, we can see that. We see God do something, and then as we move on, we forget. And suddenly the troubles of life and everything starts to consume us, and bitterness can so easily come in. But we know in Scripture, God says, throw a stick in the water, and that water became sweet. One more encounter with God, and it's sweet again. And we find this passion does come again. I remember when I was, I've shared my testimony in August of 98, I went for a run at lunchtime in Saint-Tropez, and I said, God, if you're real, come into my life. At the time, I was living my dream. I was skippering a yacht in France for one of the wealthy people. It was a beautiful sailing boat, but this emptiness grew so strong that I was crying out to God, and I encountered him. He filled me, and I came to Durban, gave my life, but I went back to the Mediterranean, got onto another boat. And I remember we were sailing from Naples towards Spain, and I was standing at the front of the boat, and I felt this emptiness coming back again. And I remember holding the shroud. It was a flat Mediterranean ocean. I said, no, God, not. I can't go without you. And that flood came back again. That peace came back. That filling came back again. And I was back on track. We've got to be so careful that we don't move from being in awe of God and more of God, what God's doing, to walking in bitterness. And it slowly creeps in. We have to guard our heart. We have to guard ourselves against it. We have to learn to sow in the Spirit. And hence, I'd like us to read that scripture that I've given you. We understand this, that the flesh in the story is the old Andrew. The Andrew who never knew Jesus. The Andrew that inherited everything from Adam. And then on this side is the spiritual Andrew, who's alive in Christ, the Spirit of God living inside me. And we understand this, that when we sow in this, what we'll read, and can I just say that there's one word that sticks out to me here, the word obvious. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Why does it think it uses that word, that word obvious? It's because you just look around and you see it. Do you know, right now, our country has 6 trillion rand debt. That's the act of the flesh. I want more. More. You see, in God's economy, there's always an abundance. The completely opposite things happen. So I want to encourage you today. How do we sow in the Spirit? How do we sow in the Spirit that we can reap all of these things? Is when you start to spend time, prioritize time with God. We say, God, speak to me. God, I'm opening up your word today. I realize it's hot, so I don't think I want to labor too long. I was actually wanting us to go deeper in the scripture, but I realize it's quite hot out there. Most of you are fanning your faces with the scripture itself. But I want to encourage you today that when we start become passionate about God, his word and life, something takes root in our life that's eternal. And we become alive eternally. The danger is when the other things start creeping in. And it's sad when you hear accounts where things are starting to creep in churches, and I've seen it in churches before, where gossip starts to come in, and slander comes in, and all of these things come into church, and all of a sudden we're no longer living the life of the Spirit, but we now form the judgment seat, and we're forming a critical stance, and we're starting to criticize the very things around us, and there's no longer the life of the Spirit in us because we're focusing on earthly things. But when we turn from that and say, God, I'm turning away from that stuff. I'm seeking you. I'm being still before you because I'm watching to see what you'll do in my life. And suddenly the life comes back again. I want to encourage each and every one of you to live this life. That if anybody comes to you and slanders anyone or gossips on anyone, that you stop them right there and you say, hang on, I want you to go to speak to that person yourself. Go address them yourself. And when you've done that, then you come back to me. This is what life in the Spirit is like, is when you say no to those things that are fleshly, and we turn to those things that are Spirit, and we say, Lord, I want to live in intimacy with you. I want to be the one that when I see someone in my heart, I can go and minister to them. Not someone who's so twisted and bitter and drinking by the waters of Mara that you don't see what God is actually doing in the very midst, because I'm consumed by the things that are wrong that are distracting me from the very life that God wants to release in and through your life. Volunteer at Mfundi, rather. Go find where there's life and get involved. I know these two have a lot of fun. There's something about being believers that we've got to have fun together. We don't just meet and go away. There has to be life and fun together. Because where there's life, there's fun, there's joy. As someone said, we weren't baptized in lemon juice. We are baptized in water. And so that we come alive in water. So when we are together, we are alive. And we're looking forward to our worship team being back on the 30th of March. I mean, very excited to have them back. Thank you, Gary. Great job with the DVDs and the sound, guys. We're looking forward to have the worship team back. I love what they said. Do we have to do three songs? Can't we do more? I said, if you're worshiping and the Spirit of God moves, we're going to stay there. We're not going to move from there. We're going to make space for that. And I believe that when our team comes back, they're going to come back more alive. Not they weren't alive before. They're going to come back alive. Yeah. I just want to honor the guys. Just spending time with them over a meal. Their hearts, their passion is amazing. And we need to learn to celebrate and not tolerate one another. We need to honor one another. Because when we do it, we line ourselves up with God's Spirit. Because now God's in the business of building people up and not crushing them and bringing them down. So when you go and gossip on a brother or slander on someone else, be the person on the other side and says, not in my presence, please. Go deal with them directly yourself and come back to me and let me know how it went. In fact, I'm holding you accountable to that. I tell you, you do that once and no one will ever gossip or slander around you again because they're too scared to be around you. But there is something that we're called to be as believers, led by the Spirit. And look at the fruit. So the seed is sowing in the Spirit. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'd like to pray for us as a church. If this has stirred your heart, and you're saying, Lord, I want to be alive eternally. I don't want to drink by the waters of Mara anymore. I want to be alive. Put that wood in my life. I mean, the wood often speaks of the cross of Jesus. Put that in my life. I want to be alive again. I'm tired of walking around bitter, angry with the government, angry with this, angry with the taxi, angry whatever. I want to live a life that's full and rich. So, Father, I pray that as we end this time together, Lord, and reflect on your word, you say to us, I want you to live free. No longer controlled by earthly things, because you are a citizen of heaven. And Father, I pray over every person here today, Lord, that no root of bitterness will ever take root again. In fact, we uproot those things, Lord, that are not of you, Lord. And Lord, what we planted in is a message of the kingdom that will take root in our heart, that will yield a 30, 60, 100-fold return in our lives, that we can say, I am alive and I am alive eternally. I'm never going back to that place again. I'm never walking in that place again. I'm the one who's going to bring and impart life wherever I go. Wherever I go, I'm going to bring life. I'm going to speak life. I'm going to call out destiny and purpose from all those people that I come into contact with. I'm going to say, it's going to be okay. God is here. God is in the midst. He wants to work in your life to will and to act according to his purpose in your life. I pray that we as a church, as a community here, within the workplace at home, will be those who speak life. We won't be those who are overwhelmed, but we'll be those who overcome because we are more than conquerors. Yeah, and I pray, Father, for anyone who's heavy laden today, Lord, just feeling the weights of life, that you come and yoke them, Lord, with that yoke that is light and easy. We speak blessing over every household, Father. And I pray, even this week, Lord, for divine encounters, even over a cup of coffee, whatever it is, we pray for divine encounters in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.